Now we're going to start reading the gospel. And I think then you will see why the church gave us some of the texts that we've been looking at up to this point. For instance, from the Book of Wisdom. Nothing. I held everything, you see, as secondary to wisdom, okay? Nothing is as great as wisdom. I prayed and prudence was given me. I pleaded and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepter and throne. I deemed riches nothing in comparison with her, nor did I liken any precious gem to her, and so forth, because all gold is so much dust. He found wisdom so precious, so beautiful. That's why some of the other wisdom writers, it's like meeting your bride. Nothing else matters. And so that's the background and why it was given to us for this very challenging text in the Gospel of Mark. So our Lord is walking along. He was setting out on a journey, and a man ran up, knelt down before him, and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone." This fellow certainly doesn't know he's God, so he's trying to raise his sights, his mind. "I'm more than you think I am." And now, and this is so beautiful, he said, "Well, you know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He replied and said, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Quite possible. But now comes the rest. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." Demasiado. I can't do that. You see? So he went away sad. See, says, at this statement, his face fell, and he went away sad. A nice, devout man who's operating life at a 3 or a 4, and Jesus was saying, "Because I love you, I'll give you a chance to operate at 10. Be deep union with me. Have your whole life make sense. Married, single, whatever. But get rid of all that distraction and come follow me." And the rich man said, "That's a bit much. I can't do that. You're not worth all that." So he left. And he was sad. I wanted to be part of this wise man's entourage, but sell everything and go follow him? Wander around like he does? That's too much. That's too much. Even though, what is Jesus saying when he offers that? He's saying, "I'm giving you a chance to be as happy as I am already in this life, to live like I lived. I'm giving you a chance. I'm not giving that to everybody, because only certain people can live a celibate life, for instance, because a celibate life is a heavenly life. Everybody's celibate in heaven. We're not going to be begetting any more children. But some people can start that life here. And then you don't need a lot of money. And I will see to it that you're taken care of. That'll be my job. Just drop everything and follow me." "Well, you know, I did that about 60 years ago. I've never been bored a moment in my life. I've suffered quite a bit. Everybody does, married or single. But Jesus has been faithful to his word. I can promise you that." So if you hear that word out there, take it. You see? One thing's lacking. Go sell everything. You see? And but it says he looked on him and loved him. And then said it. Don't you think the man would see that love in Jesus' eyes? And he's saying, you see, give it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven. You can't believe what's waiting you in heaven. And then come follow me. How bad can it be to follow Jesus? He's the Son of God. You'd think he could, you know, make a pretty intelligent lifestyle for himself. Not comfortable, maybe, you know, and not certainly lots of security with money. But what about another kind of security with God the Father? Why not? If you're called to that, take it. Don't let it pass you by. Because I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. You're not, unless you commit some terrible sins. But there's something there. You know, I remember somebody telling me about a vision they had. It was a pretty girl in a very pretty bathing suit sitting by the side of a pool. But she looked very sad. And our Lord said, "You see that girl there?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I called her to the religious life, and her parents blocked it. She couldn't go, and she didn't know how to overcome that. So now she's sitting beside the pool. I have another plan for her life, not as fulfilling, not as rich, but if she listens, it's hers." And I thought, how good of God. He doesn't say, "Well, I gave you your chance, you're finished. I gave you your chance to this, I'll give you something else. And if you can handle that, you'll be with me in heaven, but you're missing the fun and the adventure and the privilege of living like I do." And that's what he's saying. Well, you say, "Well, how am I called to it?" Quite likely. I mean, after all, most of the world isn't. But if you are, listen. Because whether you do or whether you don't, you've got to stay detached from riches. Riches and comfy, they don't belong in a Christian's life. Have a nice house. Raise your children well. I've told you this story before. It says in the Gospel of Luke, "Unless a man renounce all his possessions, he can't be my disciple." Whew. I'm driving up to a Sunday Mass, and I'm praying, and I say to the Lord, "Look, Lord, most of the time, we preachers and the audience both sort of skip over this. We never talk about it." That's false. You said it. We have to preach about it. And they have to listen about it. But what am I going to say, Lord? I mean, sell everything and give it to you? They have children to raise. They got to get them through school. You know, they got to pay the mortgage. What do you mean? And the most beautiful, calm, intelligent, of course, answer came back. And he said to me, "Look, I gave them that vocation of marriage. I know they have to raise their children and feed them and clothe them and give them an education. I know that. What I mean is, for them, submit it all to me and I will guide you. I will tell you how to spend it. It'll be more frugal than you might want, but you'll have the privilege of knowing that you are following my direction all the time of your life." And I know parents who do this, huh? Before Johnny goes off to Harvard, they pray, "Lord, is that the place to send him? Will we have the money to keep it up?" It's, I don't know, it's an enormous tuition. And the Lord may say yes, and I'll protect him. Or he may say no, that's not the place for him. You see, all the Lord is saying is, be totally submitted to me. And I can direct you, and I can help you with your money. To this fellow, you see, he offered another beautiful calling, you see? You literally, you see, a higher calling. Not higher that everybody in it is higher than the, you know, but it's closer to the goal, that's why it's higher. Now, the text goes on then. "Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God.'" Why? Well, they're eaten alive with especially nowadays, with the economic thing going up and down all over the place. You know, how are we going to live? How are we going to feed our kids? How are we going to, they're consumed. And I gave that young fellow a chance to get out of that. Most people are supposed to live it. But you see, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's tough. It's tough. You can get so distracted. Now, people are trying. Our Lord's talking in hyperbole. A great big camel getting, you know. Well, one of the gates in the wall is called the eye of the needle. So, and the camels have to get down on their knees and crawl through. No. He means exactly this huge exaggeration. If you want to get in and you're rich, you better stick around with me. I'm the only one who can get you through. I will show you how to use your wealth for the good of your family, for the good of the human race. You know, share it. And that keeps you detached. And if you're detached from it, it's not going to do you harm. Lord, shall I take the whole family on a vacation? Suppose we drive all across the coast, and that'll be an economical trip, and the Lord may say that, he may say no. Two of your kids are sickly, they're going to drive across the country, it's going to make them worse. Fly, go to the other end and look at the stuff, or whatever. But you go to the Lord and ask Him. I remember a friend of mine, Palestinian, and he was telling me the story of his family. He was a married man with, six or seven children. His name was Kamil Shahadi. And one day he said to me, Abuna, you wouldn't believe this. I think I told you this story before. He was sick. In fact, he died of cancer of the prostate. The Israeli government just gave me $60,000 because technically I'm not allowed to work and I need money. So I got all the family around the table, all my children, and I said, my wife, and I said, I'm going to take you all to America. So you can see Disney World and the Grand Canyon and Washington and you can... And so then they start. Well, Dad, Uncle Shafif's got a bad heart and he needs a new car. When do we get that? And then Jamal, their oldest son, the oldest brother, he said, he's 20 now. He should have a room for himself. Why don't we build an extension to the house and give him an extension or a room for himself? And then... They went through, he said, Abuna, that means father in Arabic. You wouldn't believe it. In 10 minutes, they'd gotten rid of the whole $60,000. They gave it all away. Now, you see, that's a remarkable instance of what I'm trying to say. They all heard the Holy Spirit. They said, look, give it away. Support your family. Give them life. And show them through that, with the look in your eyes when you give it to them, that I love you, I don't begrudge you this gift. They'll see me, and they'll come to me. Instead of having a trip in the United States, you will have gained your family back into my fold. Isn't that worth it? You see? Do what I tell you with the money. I just think that's such a beautiful story. But it was what a credit it was to the parents, wouldn't you say? That the they would hear that. So our Lord goes on then, you see, as I just said, you see, how difficult it is, you see. So they say, well, gosh, who can be saved? And our Lord says, for human beings, it's impossible, but not for God. You bring your problems to my Father, and we will solve them. And you will live a holy and upright life, and you will take care of your children. But, oh, goody, I can do it on my own. No. You've got to surrender it all to me, and I will direct it. And that's what I'm in, by getting rid of it. Some, I mean, get rid of it, and be poor and follow me. Some, I mean, get rid of it by listening to me, and I will guide you. My story I just told you about that Palestinian family, can you see how the Lord was guiding that family? Kids. $60,000, a trip to the U.S., wow, and they give it all away. They learn from Jesus. Amen.